Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Straight Cheese and Lettuce Podcast Show. I am your host, slash chef, Alpha Insanity, a.k.a. Matthew Newton. And hello again. I know I've been gone for a long, long-ass time, but as you know, things happen. Mental health checks, self-burnout, everything. I ain't making no excuses. But I'm back now. So let me get some things out of the way. First, I'm probably going to make this little schedule for me a little bit easier. I'm doing 2 shows a month. Probably one by myself and another one with a recurring guest or a friend of mine, basically. And also, I do have another show coming out. Hopefully, if not this month, which is September, maybe October at the latest. It's called Silk and Dollars. So if you got anybody who's in the OF business, the adult entertainment business, stripper business, not just that, but anything that has to do with sex, you know, sexual health, sexual, like, you know, modesty and everything else, come on the show. It's going to be a little bit more adult. It's going to be a little bit more risque. That's why I made a second show for it. This show is for you and the kids, even if I got a cuss spot on this show. But that's the one that you can listen at night. Look at it at night, you know, with the missus or whatnot in the background. If you play this while you're going to church, that's on you. Between you and God, that ain't me. So, what announcements out of the way? I would like to introduce you to my guest. He's been here on the show 3 times now, have been lately. He's a good friend of mine, and trust me, when it comes to knowing how to make a budget and profit, he's the guy to talk to. It's Mr. Joe Crenshaw, aka Vicious. What's up, Vicious?
What's going on? How's everyone doing this evening? I hope y'all doing well. It's been a while.
How long as well? Because last time we talked was WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah.
And that Hot Pocket garbage match Charlotte Flair versus Tiffany Stratton. But you want to know about that one? You'll listen to that. Listen to that episode, okay? We ain't here talking about this shit. We got a couple topics to talk about today, so we're going to start off on the fun side. We got some serious things to talk about, but we're going to start, you know, ease back into this. So we're going to start with some fun things. So, NFL 2K25 and NBA 2K25, or 26, I think, came out. That's a pet peeve of mine, but we'll get to that. But the new additions to Madden and NBA came out. I tried Madden. My friend Vicious up here tried NBA, so since he's been playing NBA, I haven't done it yet. I'll let him take the reins. So, Vicious, how is NBA?
It's the same damn thing.
Okay, next topic.
I mean, you know, I'm at a point in my life with these video games that come out yearly, where, you know, if you're coming out with something new, instead of trying to put a fresh coat of paint, you know, on the same mechanics and try to say, hey, this is new, you know, like, sell me more on something than just, you know, how much money you want to get out of me in terms of virtual currency, because I'm going to start with these damn shoes. Now, I understand that the Jordans and, you know, everybody else, you know, they up there as far as price. But I ain't spending $9,000 of quote-unquote virtual currency just for some Air Jordan 5s, low tops.
Like, excuse me? They're how much VC? VC five. Is the currency in the games, folks. How much VC?
$5,000. Some even at 9. Like, the cheapest shoes that I finally got on my character today were the Air Jordan 20s, and they were freaking $4,000. They were literally $4,000. Now it's cheap. I don't even want to get started on the limited edition wardrobe stuff by like True Religion and Coach. Like, they treat me like real money, and I'm like, bro, I just want to get the cheapest thing that I can find out here. Put it on my creative player and shoot threes on it. That's all I want to do. Can I get that, please? Please? Please?
So you got the Steph Curry build, huh?
Actually, I got more of a Joe Johnson build. He's real good as far as like mid range go, and you know, if he's wide open and on the arc, then he can hit it all day long. Shot meter is a lot easier than last year's version. I can actually get used to that a lot quicker than I could with the 2K25 version. I see how they incorporate the meter as far as like dunks and layups. I'm still trying to adjust to that. I really didn't like it at first, but now they're trying to make it a little bit easier so I can rock with that a little bit. But other than that, I mean, like I said, it's the same game from last year. It's just like different settings here and there. Career mode, it's fair. I like it. So, but other than that, that's pretty much it as far as NBA.
Have you tried that new mode, or I guess, listen, I don't know what you want to call it, the new feature where you can play with WNBA stars? Have you tried that out yet?
I have not. I haven't seen it in the career mode either. So either that is like a separate entity, separate game mode all by itself, or I think it's something that's probably going to be strictly multiplayer. But as far as I can see, I haven't seen it because I play career mode. So I haven't seen any of that on the main career mode.
Yeah, I saw some clips about it. I saw one clip on Instagram. This dude tossed an alley-oop from LeBron James to Caitlin Clark, and she dunked on Steph Curry. And like, let it happen in one online game. Everybody will stop playing immediately. Because the concept is okay, because you keep hearing that stuff. This is not a knock on WNBA. I like WNBA some things. Go Reno Aces, by the way. But when I hear players like, we play just as good as the NBA players, I'm like, trust me, let's put real physics in this thing. I said, I would be okay with the idea of that game mode, but you got to put real fits in. So you can't have Caitlin Clark pushing down Steph Curry in the post. I'm like,
yeah.
Now, if you want to have a shootout with those, I'm like, okay, fine. But then when I saw somewhere, it says, I said, yeah, dominate the back, the front, dominate the paint with Angel
Reese.
That's how bad her name is hard to say. I don't even like her. I'm a Caitlin Clark, AJ, Ajay Wilson favorite, but they said dominate the paint with Angel Reese and Shaq. Like, you mean Shaq and someone else, huh? Because I don't know why, but
yeah, I get the concept, but then at the same time, I'm like,
it's not going to work unless you put actual mechanics and physics in the thing. So
yeah,
just putting a female on a male, like, you know, archetype, it's not going to work because somebody's going to get really upset.
Easily.
I can see right now, I can see the LeBron fans like, this is some bullshit, man. I was LeBron James, and he got crossed up by Caitlin Clark. I'm like, well, one, he's 40, and two,
we definitely gonna see some more clips of that as the game progresses and keep going. But I can almost guarantee you, by the time the season starts, it's gonna be a whole lot of updates.
Oh yeah. But besides my fuck up of Angel Reese's name, I messed it up. Anyway, we're going to keep going. I tried out the new Madden, and just like him, it's the same fucking thing, really. But see, here's the thing, folks. When I play sports games, I like sports games like anyone else does, but I like shooting RPGs. But when it comes to sports games, I usually wait in between years. I usually wait 2 years between games, because usually they don't make that much changes. So the next game I usually play would be Madden 2026. The last time I played for that was Madden 2024. There's not that much change going on between games. Mainly the roster, mostly. So, but honestly, it's the same thing, really. Which is why yearly games to me do not make motherfucking sense at all. if you want to really want to do that, make one game 1 year and then pay an extra, I don't know, DLC for, like, update the roster. And you pretty much, that's it, but
They actually used to do that with, like, Madden 5 and stuff like that. But, of course, you know, it's like,
they're not making a lot of money off it.
Of course they're not. So
this is much easier. That way we can also get you to buy for those limited edition, one time only LeBron's 13s that every time you slam dunk, they play We Ready. Like, okay, fine. Side note, did you hear about the Outkast washing machine and dryer?
I did not.
Apparently, Big Boy, I need to double check this, but apparently he's going to release a limited edition washing and dresser and dryer set that once they're finished, they'll play the song So Fresh and So Clean.
Yeah, I definitely got a little bit of planning on.
While he's doing that, I'm going to be honest with you, that sounded like a good idea in 2004. But also, that song will get annoying real fast. unless he puts more music in his catalog into that washer and dryer machine, I don't even want to tip them trying to wash that mess.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yep.
Uh-huh. He just found it, folks.
Outkast rapper Big Boi has teamed up with Whirlpool to launch a special edition.
But why only that one song, though? You think you put... I get the joke, but that joke worked out fast. You think you put more songs on there.
And, of course, somebody in the comments said, will the wash cycle take forever? Forever?
And I wonder, if your name, like, if your last name is Miss Jackson, if it breaks down to the same... I'm sorry, Miss Jackson. I'm sorry, Miss Jackson. Ooh, this thing is broken. Okay.
When it's out of balance, you should play shake it, shake, shake, shake it, shake, shake.
You know what? I'll even go even further. If it's on maintenance mode, it should play elevators.
Oh no. Oh no.
Me. Who's that working?
Me and you.
No Molly. No kids.
That is funny.
But just So Fresh and So Clean, that would get old so fucking fast.
Very funny.
I think it'll still probably one or two. They'll use it and then return to that fact. We can't send that fucking song. And I bet you there's no way to turn it off either.
Well, maybe they'll have a setting. Hopefully they won't play the actual song, but it'll just play just the jingle.
Okay. Hopefully. That, you know, that word.
I can deal with a jingle, but if they play the whole song here, I'll get irritated too. Like, maybe you should, you know. And, you know, you just play that one time and you're like, okay, yeah. Go ahead and throw some stuff in the dryer now.
Now, here's the thing. If this turns out to be a success, what other fucking things you want to be done?
I mean, we already got the celebrity meals, which I'm sick and tired of.
You know what? I want some Afro Man microwaves. If someone is done, he's like, ooh, now it's time to go eat, because you are high. Okay. What's up? Some Michael Jackson mopping product. That way when you're done, it's all slick. You can moonwalk. Sorry, folks. When I hear an idea like that, I tend to run with it. And I run through it to the ground. Yep. Ooh. I know. I forget. Y'all probably know this, but I'm a wrestling fan. How about wrestling theme appliances?
I need a Suplex City dryer. That's what I need. You know, and it's like I can throw my pullovers, all my sweatpants in it, so when it's in the dryer, all you hear is ka-chung, 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 ka-chung.
Suplex City, bitch. I want a Kurt Angle alarm clock.
Sonic the Hedgehog. Yeah. Sonic the Hedgehog alarm.
Sure. Only if you hit the off switch, it sounds like the rings being smacked out of. That I'll take. I'll give you that. I'll grant you that one. But only if you hit the off button, the coins come out. Oh, never mind. No one else. We looked hard enough. Somebody already made that.
Right. So.
So. At the time of this recording, it's August 31st.
Yeah.
So the first week of college football has already passed, and let me be honest, folks, there is some I don't know what I want to call it. It's been surprising. Is the right word?
I can say it is a very interesting season that we're going to witness this year, and I'm here for it.
You know. Yeah, we're both college football fans. I'm a Georgia Bulldog fan. My friend here is a Auburn fan.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So we're gonna go ahead and dive right into it. We're gonna talk about these lovely, these wonderful, these great to see Auburn Tigers and you know what they did with Baylor. Ah, it was good.
What was the score?
So the score was 38, I believe, to 24. And my biggest highlight play was the kickoff return that went for 98 yards. That was one of the best, yeah, if not the best, plays I have seen in quite a while. I'm trying to remember what quarter it was.
Now, don't get it twisted, folks. Baylor's actually a pretty good school. They will seek a win on y'all in the football game.
Oh, yeah.
So, to get one on, so Auburn beat Baylor was actually pretty good. Of course, I can't say much because Georgia beat the piss out of Marshall 45-7. Oh, shout out to my friend Maurice. I don't care what you say. That's not a JV team. That was a legitimate team that had the potential to win, too. Just not against Georgia. But honestly, we can honestly say right now that the best game that happened in week one is Alabama State and UAB.
Yeah. So, the quarterback for Alabama State, I believe he came from a different school. I want to say Texas Tech. I cannot remember off the top of my head right now. Give me a second while I look him up.
I think everybody thought UAB was just gonna. It's one of this UAB versus Alabama State. That's one of those kind of like you know, payments games, right? Where UAB pay UAB pay Alabama State to play them.
Mm-hmm.
They got their money's worth, didn't they?
Oh, they definitely got their money's worth with them. Wait, are they not part of the Conference USA anymore? Uh oh.
Who are they part of now? So I'm in the Comp USA. Got disbanded.
Uh-oh.
So why are you looking that up? Do you think the reason because of all the fact that this is just a small sample size, folks? But do you think it's because I had a conversation with a friend of mine a year ago or 2 years ago. Shout out to my friend, the Gator that eats his haters. He knows who he is when I say that. Do you think it's the result of the NIL deal? Well,
I mean,
because now some schools are getting better players in their stuff.
I feel like that does play a factor.
Because let's be honest, if this was a couple years ago, UAB would beat the dog piss out of State. Easily. Even with their best players.
Easily. But I feel like this kind of gives more so of an even playing field for them because, you know, you can actually have players, some players who are actually, like, you know, from their hometown, which is little known, and they can actually make a statement in their home college a little bit. So I feel like it's going to even out the playing field as long as they don't do these outrageous deals and stuff, you know, where they got, you know, Milo's sponsoring somebody with $1 million deal type stuff. Which I feel like is way extravagant because I'm like, you know, first of all, Milo, where are you getting $1 million from if you're just selling sweet teas and got, you know, restaurants a hop, a skip, and a jump away?
Those teas are good, though.
Yeah, the teas are good. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, I got to look at your side eyes like, so, you know, I can't get a discount, but y'all give them, you know, $1 million NIL deals to, you know, football players. I need to.
And what's even worse is the fact that the guy if I remember correctly, the guy who got the deal, the stadium wasn't even selling the tea.
Yeah.
How do you let that slip in the cracks? I got a sponsorship with a tea company that sells, a restaurant that sells tea, but you don't sell the tea at the stadium I play at, but it won't allow it. I'm like,
oh, no, I want that. I don't think so. But hey, you know, let's work out the kinks of these NIL deals, and we'll definitely get that out
there. I mean, how you even work out the kinks, though? That's the easy thing. So, while we're talking about our wins,
there were some losses.
There were some upset. No, I'm not even going to call an upset to Florida, because who they lost to was, it's not an upset. It's surprising, but not an upset. Alabama lost. So I get to not hear Roll Tide for one more week, so I'm good.
Yeah, but
speaking of that, have you heard from your Alabama friends? Because my friends have gone silent.
Same here. I haven't heard anything from anybody, which, you know, is actually kind of a good thing, because, you know, of course, at the start of the season, everyone was like, you know, oh, care about nothing but the Tide, Blitz, Bama, Blitz, and I'm like, where's Bama at now? You know, you guys had one job to go against Florida State. Where we won at home? I don't want to hear no excuses. Real Alabama fans don't create excuses; they make adjustments. So, you know,
they made one big adjustment. They Nick Saban left. That's right. Then man, this is the reverse Bill Belichick deal. The coach left and the team suffered.
Oh.
But the funny thing ever happened, it was someone on Facebook. On Friday, they said, man, Roll Tide had all that Alabama, like, paraphernalia on their stuff, on their Facebook page, and their cover photos. I went to it today after they lost to Florida State. Nothing. It was all black. And the only thing they said is, count your days. Count your fucking days, Coach DeBoer. You're on the hot seat.
Oh, really? It was just one game.
You know the rules. Undefeated or fired.
Yeah, even all nothing type shit.
Nick Saban lost games, but at least they tried to use, like, well, he won a championship. He won two or three, so he can afford to lose one or two. Here, especially after they lost to Vanderbilt last year, because under his watch. They haven't forgotten that.
Yeah, they really, I forgot about it, because I kind of look at it as, hey, new year, new season, new possibilities for change. Damn, what a change.
Are we having another, what is it, Mike Shula era for Alabama, where they will be decent, but not going to be, like, world beaters anymore?
I'm not even going to say they're going to be world beaters anymore, but, you know, this is, you know, like I said with a couple of my friends who are Alabama fans last year, when it was like, you know, we're better than y'all type stuff. I'm like, okay, I need you to understand, we're kind of like, you know, low-key about to sit in the same bus stop now, so you can't pick on us as much as you would like to. You know, you're still sitting next to us on the bus stop. We're still punching in the mouth. You know, it's going to hurt this time. That probably ain't going to hurt as much, but you know, now, after I saw them lose to Florida State, I'm like, they might actually have a shot, man. This time around.
So the question remains is, if he loses to Auburn in the Iron Bowl,
if they lose to Florida,
and
I'm gonna throw Vanderbilt in the hat just because.
They also got us in Georgia.
Yep.
Now that's a toss up anyway, but
Tennessee is still a toss up right now. I don't think they're gonna lose to Tennessee though. I think they might get over on Tennessee.
Yeah.
They might get over on Tennessee, but. LSU, Florida.
Ooh.
Yeah, they ain't getting past LSU. I don't see it.
The way LSU beat Clemson?
Yeah, they ain't getting past
don't, LSU. What they always say, don't let the sport tell the story.
And this is coming from an Auburn fan. I'm not expecting us to beat LSU. The way they beat Clemson like that. I'm not expecting us to beat them.
What happened to Clemson?
Time showed itself. That's... That's what happens when you're on a good run for a good time, a good amount of time, and then, you know, you realize that you kind of overinflated yourself over the years and just got by.
I mean, they won, what, they won two championships, one with Trevor Lawrence and one with a guy who always likes a happy ending.
Yeah. So.
That should tell you that you had good players. That was not a good program. You had good players.
That's exactly what they had. And now their program is starting to show their true colors. So that's pretty much how I feel about Clemson as far as the organization goes.
But let's talk about our two teams. Honestly, I just want Georgia to have a winning season. If we get back to it, because last year we showed everybody that we could play. Mm-hmm. And then we got, oh God, what was it, versus Texas, 8 overtime, and we still, I do not want that again. I do not need a repeat of that. That was nerve-wracking in itself, but dear fucking Christ.
I mean, like, you know, that's typical in the Auburn playbook, because, I mean, like, you know, ups and downs, lefts and rights, highs and lows. Yeah, we've seen it all and done it all. I'm just kind of finally glad that we're starting to get on one accord now. So that's a start for me, and I greatly appreciate that.
I just hope we get to the fucking playoffs. By the way, why the hell did we jump from, what, 4 to, what, 8 now? It's 8 teams now, right?
I believe so.
That's too many. This come from me.
It's just to cut the complainers down. I wanted it to be 6.
It needed to be 6.
Yeah. So I feel like that was a good happy medium, but then you had folks who were like, we had a perfect season and we deserve to be in there.
Even when you looked at the record, like, you didn't really beat anybody. But we're still undefeated.
So it's like, man, now we have to throw in the extra 2 for participation trophy, folks. You know, which I feel like in that first round is really going to show you if you were worthy to even be in the playoffs. But it's just a table to those.
Because what's going to happen is if you increase it up even more, well, you should decrease it back to 6, you're going to run into that one team that's not really good, but they just get on a hot streak. And next thing you know, you're going to have a fucking Georgia versus TSU incident again. Because as much as I'm glad Georgia won that championship, TCU was outmatched, outgunned, outplayed, outcoached, and out their weight class. They punched up.
That's what they really did. But, you
know, they just got hot at the right time, and they got exposed for it.
Very quickly.
But now you want to increase it. Now they increase it to 8, you want to have another situation. You're going to have another Giants-New England game on your hands.
And now the biggest game of the week, which was Lee Corso's last pick. I kind of brought me to tears because I kind of had a great childhood with Lee Corso over the years. I can't believe he was doing that for 38 years.
Me either.
I was like, wow, what a childhood. But the good old game of the year, in my opinion, I feel like that's the game of the year until, you know, later on in the season. But Ohio State versus Texas.
Everyone picked it. I think everybody in the world picked Ohio State, but I think a few picked Texas because of who was the quarterback of the last name.
Of course, of course. Anything that has Manning attached to it means, you know, winning, prestige. I feel like Manning is like the last name Manning alone is like what it is, what's flair to wrestling. Like, that's really, I feel like, what that last name feels like at this point.
You think so? I think it's more of the Samoan style. Nah, you need a couple more cousins in there, too.
Yeah.
Well, I see the flair comparison to the wrestling thing.
Because that's exactly what it feels like. You know, you're attached to the name, and then it's like, you know, we expect success from you. And I'm like, you can't do that to a guy, that, you know, out the gate like that. You know, he has to prove himself. Granted, he was granted the last name, but you still have to prove yourself. That's what Eli had to do. So I don't see what the issue is with Archie. Tomatoes, tomatoes.
And the funny thing is, as much as people don't want to say it, Eli is up there as a good quarterback. He said he's he was just like not flashy as his brother or not as, you know, demanding as Brady was. Mm-hmm. But he got two Super Bowls beating Brady.
So
Drew in Brady's prime, by the way. That's the one thing people forgot. That was in Brady's prime.
Exactly. But a lot of folks don't want to talk about that. They want to hide and run from that. Or talk over that. So we all know how that goes.
And it's common. Speaking of sons and family dynasties, You talk about Archie Manning being like over, I wouldn't say overcompensating for anybody, but he's playing, but like any of the famous sons, you're playing not only in his case, his father and his uncle's legacy. We have seen countless times that sometimes the son does not live up to the dad's expectation.
Exactly.
Case in point, we already know about Bron James. Now him, to me, I think he's, if he's, as long as Bronny James don't try to play like his dad and just find his own style, he'll be fine.
Yeah.
But if he tries to play like his dad, he's not going to do it.
Yeah.
And I mean, I bring that up because Sanders' sons, Deion Sanders' boys, Shiloh and Shador.
Yeah.
I love Deion Sanders. That dude is one heck of a player, and he's one heck of a dude. He's like, he's the kind of guy who I want my sons to play for because he's going to teach them some things.
Mm-hmm.
Too bad his sons didn't learn their lesson, because I'm not familiar with Shiloh.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows the situation with Shador. He got drafted in the fifth round by the Browns. I don't think they really wanted him. I think they just picked him because the media circus.
Yeah, just to have some kind of media attention surrounded them for, you know, a while. That's how I feel about it, which is not fair. Especially to Shador, but you know.
And then he goes into the Browns, and they already have like what, four quarterbacks already on the roster,
which is, that's a lot. That's a lot.
Who wants to play for? Did people forget about the Browns? The Browns is kind of like where QBs go to die. Do I have to bring up all the names? Well, I can't bring all the names. There's so many, but every quarterback who's played for the Browns, except maybe what, one, didn't really do so well. In fact, I think they did worse when they left. They did better when they left. Because I think of a few. Let's see. Well, Deshaun Watson already don't look like himself. Johnny Manziel.
Of course.
Baker Mayfield.
Definitely Baker Mayfield. All the room.
And again, Baker went to Tampa Bay, and now he's actually pretty decent. Let's go old school. Tim Couch.
Oof.
Brandon Hoyer.
Yeah.
Ooh, boy, who else I can't think of? I think I know a Jackson played there. I can't think of his first name.
Did Joe Flacco play over there?
He's still there now.
Oh Lord.
I think he's the starter.
Oh Lord. It's confusing.
All those quarterbacks, they do too well, and then you will put Shador. And you know what? I'm going to put this on, as much as I like the other, I'm going to put on his own self. Because you brought your son. Your son was coached. Deion, you coached your son since he was in what? Pee Wee football?
Mm-hmm.
So you knew how he played. You knew how his weaknesses, his strengths are. You should have known. You should have said something. And say, like, son, you're not ready to go to the NFL yet. Stay here for more year. I think he was his third year.
Right.
So I'm like, you need to stay here one more year. And also, play for someone, another school. Don't stay under my fucking wings on the, I know you don't cuss, but
yeah.
But then I'm like, play for another coach besides me, man. I understand it. I don't have kids, man, but if you're a really good player and you're a really good coach, you want your kids to be coached by you.
Yeah.
But they need to be, you need to see their skills away from you.
Yeah.
Like,
balance.
Yeah. Huh?
A balance.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, hey, you go over there, like, play on that side. Because when they went, transferred him, Travis Hunter, and all of a sudden they went, left Jackson State to go with him to Colorado, like, Y'all should have stayed there. And coached by another guys and all stuff. Because we all know it. Parents see the best, see only the good side of their kids. They never see the bad side.
Right. And it happens. But, you know, we're here now.
Did you know they find Shiloh? They cut him and they still find him.
That's crazy.
And he don't even get no paycheck no more.
Yeah, so it's like, hopefully he'll go to another team.
I think they both will, but
you know, hopefully the Steelers are. I'm not sure how true it was. I saw the rumor story, but you know, Steelers were supposedly picking up Shiloh for a couple of reps on their practice squad just to see how they do. But I hope, you know, the Steelers actually pick him up. That would be a great, you know, their secondary coach can definitely, like, you know, iron out some kinks with him, in my personal opinion.
What about Shador?
Shador, and this is just my personal opinion, I feel like this. If he's not at least the second string backup quarterback, there's no need for him to be there. He needs to go somewhere else. Where? I don't know.
Oh, you mean it's Cleveland?
Yeah.
He got cut.
Oh, he did get cut?
I think that's the thing is right now. I need to double check that, but I think he got cut. Okay. If he did get cut, I hope he goes somewhere where he can still learn for a while.
Yeah,
he don't need to go somewhere where they need a quarterback right now. So if it's up to me, Shador, if I could pick anywhere, I'd probably pick somewhere like
any of the Titans. Don't even come to Tennessee. Don't even just come to Tennessee for me.
Small market, yeah, I can see that. But if I want him to go somewhere where he can learn, I'll probably pick somewhere like the Rams.
That's cool. I can see that.
He can learn with Matt Stafford.
Yep.
And as much as I like Deion, say Deion stayed in Colorado. You can come by, you can check and chat with him, you can even, you know, swap words, but you say like, I don't like how they cut. That's why Shador thought he was better than he was. Because he realized if I go where my dad can have influence, I can get somewhere.
Yeah.
If not LA, I will say this. I will go where my dad used to play. Play for the 49ers or the Falcons. Stay away from Dallas.
Yeah, by all means, because even if they give you a deal that is like out of this world, I would definitely say, what's this with Michael Parsons? I'm like, he wasn't doing it for the money, but I'm like, if anybody wanna ask about the dad on contract me and they're getting like hesitation about it, it's about the money. I don't care what comes out of their mouth. It is a financial situation that needs to be rectified when it comes to those contracts.
That's always been about money.
And for anybody who just say, oh, you know, he was playing with the Cowboys and it wasn't about the money. Yes, it was. And he knew how good of a player he was. And for the fact that, you know, Jimmy Jones didn't want to pay him, Jimmy Jones wants to be in that Netflix special where, you know,
Jimmy Jones. Oh, Jerry Jones.
Jerry Jones. Oh, I'm thinking about Jerry Johnson.
All the documentary.
I finished watching that. And what that documentary taught me was, if there's anything successful that is going to be in the Dallas Cowboys, it has to be because Jerry Jones has to play a part in it. He has to play a part in it. And I'm like, it shouldn't be like that.
Narcissistic much?
That's even an understatement. More like overzealous.
But that's so weird. And the trade for Michael Parsons, when a lot of people saying you could have got a lot more than he got, what, one player, two first rounders.
That's it.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay, let's role play with me. Not that type of role play, but role play with me, Vicious. Mm-hmm. You are the GM or the owner of the Green Bay, the owner of the fans. It's a city. You are the GM of the Packers, right?
Yep.
Jerry Jones call you and say, hey, Michael Parsons is up for grabs. What you willing to take from him? What? You don't even know what you might say. What would be the minimum you ask for in the trade?
A first round pick.
Just one?
Just one.
You think you would have...
Just one.
For Michael Parsons.
Because I look at it like this. If you're willing to let him go that bad, I'm willing to pay him whatever he wants and give you the bare minimum of pay. If you're willing to let him go like that. Like...
Because you know, I bet you Green Bay was like just messing with something. I bet they were trying to test the waters. I didn't think they were actually like,
yeah,
just send out a first round, come first round. We'll see what he says. He accepted it. Are you fucking kidding me? Because I bet you Green Bay, the GM of Green Bay, kicking himself like, I should have said one first. I could have gotten one first pick, first rounder. I said two. I fucked up.
Like, easily, because I was like, what?
And I think they're doing a player too, but. I don't think that play was pretty good. I even saw the photo. Some guy tried to simulate it in Mad GMO. The game wouldn't even let him take it. They said the trade is not adequate enough.
It's not. So it's like, you really wanted to get rid of him. And I'm like, alright, Michael, just tell me what you want. And I'm going to figure this out.
At that rate, you might as well just say you would have just traded him from compensation for like some cash.
That's it. Because it made no sense. But here we are.
If Green Bay makes it into the playoffs and Dallas don't, I'm going to laugh my ass off. And I think Dallas played Green Bay this year.
Yep, they did.
In Green Bay? Or?
I think it's actually in Dallas. I think.
You know who I really feel bad for? In the whole debacle? Because I think Green Bay called the game, got there first. I know somebody. You knew who I was thinking of when I heard that they might be trading them. Philadelphia.
I was thinking.
If Philadelphia came and called it.
If they were a Jet, I would have been like, yeah. Ain't no need to like mess with Philadelphia for a while at this point.
Because that's what happened with Saquon. Because he had issues with the New York Giants, and then they picked him up. Could you imagine the Giants? Can you imagine the Eagles? The Philadelphia Eagles like Thanos, like, oh yes, you got all the pieces, and if they would have got Michael Parsons with that defense,
oh boy, yes, yeah.
Jalen Hurts be like, do I need to be here? Because our defense is pretty easy enough as it is.
Not do I need to be here? Am I allowed to be here?
Do I need to suit up? Because we can just give the Saquon for like 100 carries
and just leave it at that.
Well, the bad downside is the fact that that many star players, you're not going to pay them that much because you better enjoy the ride while you can, because as soon as the first contract's up for negotiation, somebody's leaving. So, Green Bay.
Green Bay. Are you going to turn into the old Green Bay?
They got the quarterback. I don't know about the running game.
Yeah, we'll just have to see. That's a bad idea. Wrestling is coming up tonight, or already? I don't know. At this point, as much as many pieces as they're moving, I can't even keep up with the schedule anymore. I really can't keep up with the schedule anymore. And first off, shout out to Peacock. You know, you was just a straight bullet at the time, so you know we're gonna forgive you for now. But this whole situation with I am not gonna watch my PLE be at ESPN. Let me get me a VPN. I'm gonna watch it on Netflix since I already paid for Netflix.
Shit.
Because at this point, the answer is na-na.
Especially how much they're paying, asking everybody to pay.
Like, we
literally going to be like, with the streaming services, they're going to have everything on. And for you to treat it like a pay-per-view in a streaming service, which has to be the most diabolical thing I have seen thus far, because it makes absolutely no sense. You are basically telling us to pay an additional, like, $480 annually to watch the same thing that we've already watched for less than.
Yeah, okay.
It makes no sense.
The problem is the fact that they had a good plan the first time with the W Network.
And it was fine that way. Because at least everything that you needed to go see was already on the WWE Network. Now, if I'm not saying I'm a successful businessman, but if I'm an up-and-coming businessman who is trying to be successful, and I already have a Netflix exclusive partnership, my first thing would just incorporate a WWE Network tab within Netflix.
Yeah.
And it's already going to be paid for. Or, since you already have Netflix plans already added into it with a, you know, with a subscription for an additional, we'll just say an additional $9.99.
Mm-hmm.
Something as simple as that. You could have your Netflix account as well as a whole tab strictly for WWE. That'd be the smartest business decision ever. But no. These folks want to do a complete extra. And I already don't look at ESPN like that. Now you're going to make me watch ESPN Network just so I can watch wrestling? No.
Because think about it. They still have their contract with Peacock. That hasn't expired yet.
Right.
Then you can easily just order. I think you can still order it on paper if you want to. Then you got some people who are still on the WWE Network. Then you got the ESPN thing, which is an extra 30. That means per month, you're spending about, what, $130 a month? And Netflix. You got to have that Netflix and watch Raw.
Exactly. So it's like it's already tied into one thing. Just consolidate it, make it more affordable so that way you can get more subscribers that way. But no, I feel like it's a TKO issue. I'm saying it's a TKO issue because of the debt that they have acquired over the years. But if WWE was smart, this would be the smartest move to go to.
Mm-hmm.
But just like all things, you just have to wait and see. Which I'm so tired of waiting. I'm tired of waiting on you.
I think everyone is tired.
I'm sick of this, Grandpa. That's too damn bad.
What?
Give me some more money.
Oh, man. Well, it's all fun and games with wrestling until you realize it's not. Because then we're getting to the most serious topic of the show. The Roger Jackson incident.
Oh, boy.
Now, I'm going to explain it for those who have been living under a rock for the last 2 weeks. But Roger Jackson is the son of the legendary Quentin Rampage Jackson. He's a former world MMA fighter, world champion, especially at UFC and Pride. And his son, his name is Roger, who happens to also be training in MMA, but he does his job right now. He's a streamer. He works for the streaming service Kick. And so he was going to the show, and he ran into this one wrestler who is now known as Psycho Stu. And Psycho Stu did not understand the fact he was not a wrestler or he was, like, you know, pretending or anything. So he took a can because he saw the camera, so he thought he was, you know, in a whole backstage thing. So he takes a can and he smacked him across the head, and Roger was like, we got all pissed about it. And they almost, and Roger almost would have beaten his ass if the wrestlers didn't like prevail and intervene at that time. And what happened is that Psycho Stu came to Roger in the back before the show started, and he apologized, and they shook hands, and he asked him, can he like attend the show? And Roger said, yeah, he attended the show. So while the show was going on, he's still live streaming. And I guess, and this is one of the one things I hate about live streaming, and I'll get to that in a minute. He kept talking to his fans live streaming, and I guess his fans kept telling him, like, hey, man, you need to go in, you know, do something bad. You know, it made you look like a punk ass. You get hit with a cane and stuff like that. And he kept talking. They kept egging him on, to the point where he jumps in the ring while Psycho Stu's having a match, and he waits until he turns around. Roger picks up Psycho Stu, slams him on the ground, and I think the slam knocked him out. And then he proceeds to punch him.
Well, not that one.
Yes. 22 times straight. The slam already knocked him down. Already knocked him out, too. But the 22 punches made it even worse. And people thought it was part of the show until all the wrestlers got in there and pulled him off on him. As of right now, well, he went to the hospital, but as of the time of recording, he's awake, he's alive, and he's resting his injury, so that's good. But a lot of people are saying the fact that Roger should be charged for murder, because he technically, if you're a trained MMA fighter, your hands are technically registered as lethal weapons, by the way. And the problem was, as I was getting ready to do the show, I tried not to listen to other people's opinions, because I don't want them to influence mine. I don't want mine to sound like I'm just copping up over everyone else's. But I'm going to be honest with you. Roger should get his ass kicked. I don't know by whom, but that was uncalled for, unprofessional. Especially after the fact that you shook his hand and you said everything was cool. And then what even worse is, when he left, when they kicked him out and they left, he kept saying shit like, I'm tired of people playing with me, I'm tired of people making fun of my name and stuff like that. Who are these people you talking about?
I feel like he has some healing to do, honestly. He has some unknown traumas that we don't know about that actually needs to be ironed out. Because I really feel like, personally, he's trying to, you know, live up to his dad's MMA standard. You know, by him having a name. And I feel like that plays a factor. And I also feel that, you know, Rampage, as what I respect you as a fighter, as far as a father, I got to say that I kind of respect him as a father. Because I really feel like some of this stuff could have easily been handled in a totally different manner. Has you, you know, address the certain issues when it comes to your son. I definitely feel like that should have played a factor in it, but because you have this status where you feel like you can do anything and there's repercussions for you. That's still your son, and he has to learn about these various consequences, which where I think Rampage failed as a father in that perspective.
Mm-hmm.
I also hate that the wrestling promotion actually WWE, they had a WWE ID affiliation with them. After that video came out, WWE actually set the ties with that particular wrestling promotion, which sucks, but I mean, like, I totally get it. It's kind of like, it's like a brand image. So, you know, they definitely had to set the ties from that, because we all know WWE has ties to the MMA now as well. So, that overall, like you said, and I totally agree with you on that, that was handled poorly. I really feel like, Roger has some, he really needs to seek counseling very, very quickly.
because there's some unknown traumas there, and he definitely needs to work them out. The fact that you actually let people who are, that you don't even physically see, who are just typing stuff on the keyboard, that probably wouldn't even do the things that were done to Psycho Sid in the first place. They probably wouldn't even get in the ring and do anything of that nature. It really goes to show you that some people just live so much for the clout and, you know, for the notoriety via online versus, you know, in the physical, out here in the world, in the physical world. It's very, very troubling. And that needs to change as soon as possible. And that's pretty much how I feel about it.
My sentiments exactly, to extent, and especially after I saw some footage that was disturbing, because I did not know this, but I think Ryda's mom was found alive by somebody.
Oh, wow.
Which I think is the trauma that he hasn't overcome yet. But that's still, to me, no excuse. I mean, it's hard to talk about something like that. Honestly, I get it. But I'm not going to let... you can't let something like that, tragic as it is, you can't let that, like, harbor over your life for a long time. Okay. And I agree with you also about Jackson. Fighter? Yeah. I'm not going to, like, get in his face and say some shit, but you can't let something like that harbor over your life for a long time. I know it's hard to talk about it, but you need to do something with that. And also... this is what gets in my nerves about streamers. You're talking to people that, like you say, would not do anything you would say, but they like to be instigators.
Mm-hmm.
So they're making you do things that you know damn well they wouldn't do in their own fucking life. And it's and this is why I hate influencers to a certain extent. Some influencers are actually trying to spread light on a good message, but some of them are just doing some stupid shit, and they got fans who egg them on, basically. But this is also a Rampage thing, because did you ever see that interview? Well, it's a clip, but you need to watch the whole interview when he talks about his kids. He said he saved tuition money for his Japanese kids, and he saved bail money for his two black kids.
Yeah.
Between two African-American brothers, like, that's not helping the cause at all, especially when you say it out loud. Even if he was saying it in a joking manner, that's still not a good light, basically.
At all.
But you basically just telling, like, hey, I don't expect much from y'all, basically.
No, that's pretty much what you're saying indirectly. You're just saying, like, hey, I already know what's about to happen with y'all, so, you know, do with it what you will. And it's just not right. At all, so.
And not to get too deep in it, but when you hear, you always hear about we need to, like, uplift our black voices and our black brothers and our black sisters. The first person you should uplift to is your parents.
Mm-hmm.
If not your parents, at least somebody in your fucking family. But if your own dad say, don't worry, Joe, I don't have tuition money for you, but I got bail money just in case something happens. You're like, well, fuck me then, huh? Especially if you said, like, I'm going to save tuition money for my other kids that I actually, you know, think they'll actually make some of society. I mean, a functioning member of society, basically. But it starts at the home. It always starts. And I'm not, when I mean the home, I don't mean just in your house. I don't mean just your parents. It's the community that you're also part of. Because you can be a nice kid. You can have a great parents. You have awesome parents, but if you live in a fucked up part of neighborhood, it can influence you just as much as well.
It can.
Not as much, though. But it shouldn't, but it often does.
It does. Yeah.
But do you think that Ron should be charged for a month where, you know, I don't know, trying to attempted murder?
Not attempted, but definitely premeditated. Because when you watch the stream from beginning to end, you are at the very beginning, you squashed that beef technically.
But as you sat there and you thought about it and you let it fester over time, it became premeditated. So whether you want to believe in that, you kind of did plan to do something to that guy. you kind of did it. And the fact that it was shown on camera, there's no way you could talk yourself out of that. Attempted? No. Premeditated? Yeah. All day long.
I mean, unless the wrestler come out and say something, it was different. Even if I was the wrestler, I wouldn't say much. Don't try to defend it. Don't try to, like, excuse it. Say, oh, it was an accident. No, dude, you almost got unalived by this man. If this guy gets anything less than, then again, knowing the fact of who his dad is, he probably won't put in a good word for him. But anything less to me than 1 or 2 years in jail would be a mercy. Because who knows?
Who knows?
If he get community service, I'll be completely surprised. Yeah, although that'll be the first reaction. But I'm like, that celebrity's for you. They can, unless it's like real murder, but I think some other factors are gonna put into it's gonna be major factors in the sentencing, basically.
Yeah. Ugly.
We're not gonna end on a very somber note, so I do have some this or that questions or speed questions for Mr. Vicious over here.
All right.
And there'll be, if you've listened to the show before, it's real quick, usually 10 questions, the first 5 are this or that, and the last 5 are fill in the blanks. He don't know what it could be about. It could be about the topics we talk about today. It could be completely random. And the idea is just to catch him off his toes. So we're going to end on our just desserts. That's usually what the name of the segment is. So we can at least end on a good note. So you can take all the time you need. Because it's all the time you need. You ready to go?
Here.
Okay, this or that. Which finishing would you rather learn how to use? The Kamehameha Wave or the Special Bean Cannon?
Kamehameha Wave.
Okay. Would you rather be a quarterback winning, throwing the game-winning touchdown, or would you want to be a basketball player doing the half-court shot to win the game? Championship game, by the way, their championship game.
I'd rather be a quarterback.
Okay. Oh, this is going to be fun. You're a rapper. Who do you do not want to be in a rap beef with? Kendrick Lamar or Eminem?
Damn. Can I say neither?
Oh, you can, but I'm gonna give you a dirty look.
Oh shit. This is difficult. I can't just be in a rap beef with Young Thug.
Don't try to circumvent it. We'll come back to that one. Okay, that was the third one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll throw.
Okay. Let's see. Which universe? Ooh. Okay. Which universe would you rather be in, despite how fucked up it is? Would you rather be in the Red Dead universe or The Last of Us?
Red Dead, all day long.
We're not going to be liking that situation. This is the fifth one, but we still got to come back to the third one, you know. which car, if you can have, you have all the money in the world, which car would you souped up first if you could? Would you soup up a Toyota Supra or would you do a Mazda Miata?
Toyota Supra.
I lean towards Mazda with you, but I'll be surprised. So, unfortunately, we gotta go back to that third one. Who would you rather not have a rap beef with? Kendrick Lamar or Eminem?
Right now, it's Kendrick Lamar, because I feel like he got some more up his sleeve the moment Drake's album dropped. I feel it. I don't know if it's gonna be a GNX Deluxe
or just an EP. It won't even be an actual album. It'll just be an EP that he just drops, and the EP does better than Drake's album. So, yeah.
Okay, so that's what this is about. Here, fill in the blanks. I'm going to say a sentence or a word, and you tell me the first thing that either pops in your head, the first thing you can think of, okay?
All right.
Auburn Tigers football.
Coming around.
Oh, okay. Okay. Call of Duty Black Ops 7.
Trash.
Okay. Alabama football.
Also trash.
Favorite meal pre-workout.
Vanilla yogurt, C4. And I mix it all together.
That's four. Yeah, that's four. And finally, the last one. I saw this one from Seamus. Favorite cheat meal.
Favorite cheat meal would definitely be Domino's deep dish pizza with barbecue sauce, pepperoni, and beef. Extra cheese.
Okay, I'm getting hungry now. So we're going to end it there, folks. So that's going to do it for this episode of Straight Cheese and Lettuce. I want to thank my friend Vicious for coming on this episode. If you have any socials, where can they reach you at?
You can definitely reach me on Facebook and Instagram. Joe Crenshaw on Instagram. I am the Game Changer with an A, 85. So reach me on both of those. I'd be more than happy to help out anybody who needs help with their finances.
No, okay. And like I said at the beginning of the show, this episode should be out sometime this week. I'm not going to give a specific day because knowing my schedule. But be on the lookout for my other more adult-friendly, but more like, you know,
woohoo!
My more adult-friendly show, Silk and Dollars.
Bob Chica, wow, wow.
You see, that type of mess I'm trying to avoid is a safe space for people in the adult industry that and basically, so if you have anybody who you know anybody who happens to be in that industry who wants to talk about it, the good, the bad, the beautiful, and the ugly, you feel free to give me a, you know, shoot me a DM on my socials. You can find me at Mr. Insanity 88 on Instagram, and you can find me also at Mr. Insanity 88 on Snapchat, and that will do it all for this episode, so we'll catch you on the next one. Until then, stay cheesy.